Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Blessed Are the Misfits, Great News for Believers Who Are Introverts. When? Spiritual strugglers. Or just feel like they're missing. Something by Brant Hansen is a Christian nonfiction book aimed at readers who feel out of place in church culture or uncertain about whether they measure up spiritually. Hansen draws on his own experience as an introvert, skeptic, and person with Asperger's syndrome to argue that many believers quietly share the same sense of being different, dry, or disconnected. Rather than treating this as a failure, the book reframes misfit status through the lens of Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, especially the blessing of the poor in spirit, the meek, and those who mourn. Written in a conversational and humorous style, it is less a formal theological study than an accessible pastoral encouragement. Its purpose is to reassure readers that spiritual struggle, emotional limitation, and social awkwardness do not exclude them from faith or belonging. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Sermon on the Mount as a reversal of spiritual status. A central argument in the book is that Jesus repeatedly blesses people whom ordinary culture would overlook. Hansen uses the Sermon on the Mount to show that the kingdom of God does not operate according to social prestige, emotional intensity, or spiritual polish. The poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, and those who hunger for righteousness are presented as examples of people already identified by Jesus as blessed. This matters because the book is not simply about personality type. It is about a biblical pattern in which God values dependence over self-assurance. Hansen uses that pattern to challenge the assumption that confidence, visibility, and spiritual expressiveness are signs of maturity. In his framing, the misfit is not a second-class believer, but someone whose experience fits the logic of the gospel more closely than many polished religious performances. This makes the book both corrective and reassuring. It invites readers to stop interpreting their weakness as disqualification and instead see it as a place where Jesus speaks blessing directly. Secondly, why introversion and social discomfort can feel like spiritual failure. The book gives special attention to introverts and people who do not naturally thrive in energetic church settings. Hansen describes the friction that can arise when a person who is quiet, analytical, or socially uneasy is surrounded by expressions of faith that seem effortless for others. That contrast can produce self-doubt if everyone else appears moved by worship, prayer, or testimony. The introvert may conclude that something is wrong with his or her faith. Hansen pushes back against that conclusion by separating inward temperament from spiritual reality. The problem is not that introverts lack God. The problem is that church culture often rewards visible enthusiasm and makes quieter forms of faith look incomplete. The practical implication is important. Readers are encouraged to resist comparing their internal life to someone else's external style. The book does not argue that introversion is spiritually superior. Instead, it argues that introverted believers can be fully sincere and fully faithful without mimicking a more extroverted pattern. That distinction gives the book much of its pastoral usefulness. Thirdly, faithfulness without feeling and love without emotional proof. Another major theme is the idea that feelings are not the reliable measure of faith, love, or obedience. Hansen repeatedly addresses readers who worry that because they do not feel spiritual warmth, emotional certainty, or dramatic affection, they must somehow be deficient. His answer is that Christian love is demonstrated through action, not merely through internal sensation. This is one of the book's most practical insights because it applies to prayer, service, and everyday relationships. A person may not feel inspired to pray, but can still pray. A person may not feel emotionally engaged in serving others, but can still serve. In this way, the book separates authenticity from emotional intensity. That matters in a religious environment, where strong experiences can be mistakenly treated as evidence of depth. Hansen does not dismiss feelings, but he refuses to grant them final authority. This keeps the book grounded in ordinary Christian discipleship, where perseverance, habit, and obedience often matter more than emotional highs. For readers who feel spiritually numb, that is a liberating and stabilizing message. Fourthly, spiritual dryness, doubt, and the fear of not belonging. The book also speaks directly to believers who wonder whether their doubts or lack of vivid spiritual experience mean they are outsiders to God's grace. Hansen normalizes spiritual dryness by treating it as a common Christian experience rather than a private disgrace. That move is important because many readers are not only quiet or introverted. They are also unsettled by seasons in which prayer feels empty, worship feels distant, or certainty feels fragile. Hansen does not solve doubt by forcing false confidence, which is not more patient for Maastricht. Instead, he reassures readers that continuing to believe amid uncertainty is itself a meaningful form of faith. This perspective broadens the book's usefulness beyond personality type and into the lived reality of imperfect belief. It also helps explain why the book resonates with people who feel behind others in religious maturity. By showing that many believers remain faithful while still feeling spiritually incomplete, Hansen reduces shame and isolation. The result is a book that treats uncertainty not as rebellion, but as part of the path of Christian endurance. That is a notably compassionate approach within evangelical writing. Lastly, a humorous, accessible style that turns theology into reassurance, Hansen writes in a conversational, lightly humorous style that makes the book accessible to readers who might resist a heavy theological treatment. The short chapters and informal voice give the book the feel of a companionable conversation rather than an argument. This style matters because the subject itself is emotionally sensitive. Readers who already feel judged by church culture are less likely to receive correction if it sounds academic or severe. Hansen uses wit and self-awareness to lower that barrier while still making clear biblical claims. The result is a book that can be read quickly but still land with emotional force. Its accessibility also broadens its audience beyond a narrow group of church insiders. People who are skeptical, tired, or simply reluctant to read a dense spiritual book may still engage with Hansen because his manner is disarming rather than intimidating. At the same time, the style supports the content. A book about misfits should itself feel non-elite, welcoming, and undemanding. In that sense, the form reinforces the message and helps the book stand apart from more conventional Christian encouragement titles. In conclusion, Blessed Are the Misfits will be most useful for Christians who feel socially awkward, emotionally disconnected, spiritually dry, or simply tired of being told that normal faith must look a certain way. It is especially relevant to introverts, analytical readers, doubters who still want to believe, and churchgoers who often feel more observed than understood. The book offers practical benefit by reducing shame, separating faith from emotional performance, and encouraging ordinary obedience over comparison. It also provides intellectual benefit by challenging common assumptions about what maturity, devotion, and belonging are supposed to look like in Christian life. Compared with many books in the same category, it stands out for its blend of biblical grounding, autobiographical honesty, and dry humor. It is not a technical theology book and does not try to be. Instead, it functions as a compassionate corrective to religious subculture, especially where enthusiasm, extroversion, or certainty are treated as benchmarks of spiritual health. That combination of candor, accessibility, and pastoral reassurance gives the book a clear place in contemporary Christian encouragement writing. If you would like to support Brant Hansen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.